This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The stock market had a very strong August, but what if you're too old for stocks? I'm David Brancaccio. There's the job market, with over a million more people filing for unemployment benefits in the most recent week and consumer confidence at the lowest in 6 years. Then there's the stock market. With August in the can, we can say that stocks rose 7% in that 1 month as measured by the S&P 500 index. That's the highest since a boom year for stocks in 1986. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
If you want to know why Main Street and Wall Street diverged so much in August, the first place to look is the Federal Reserve, which is keeping interest rates low for an extended period. That means investors aren't going to get a lot of bang for their buck in bonds or other investments.
In the context of where we are now, and the fact that there are so few assets to actually be able to make a return on, U.S. stocks are probably the best place to be for the time being.
That's Michael Hewson, chief analyst at CMC Markets. I spoke with him earlier in August as we watched stocks surge.
If you actually look at what's contributing to these moves higher, it's a very small cohort of tech stocks,
which have proven resilient during the pandemic. Still, stocks are not without risk. And while they had their best August since 1986, remember 1987, when the stock market suddenly crashed in what's known as Black Monday. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
So low interest rates are propping up the stock market. They make mortgages and credit cards cheaper. But the Federal Reserve's renewed commitment as of last week to lower interest rates for longer has a flip side. People living off their savings, who include many older people, suffer when savings and bond rates stay low. Some analysts have likened low interest rates to a huge tax. You could have earned, say, 4%. How do you feel about less than 1%? Karen Petru is managing partner of Federal Financial Analytics in Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right. Well, there's a crisis right now, and lower interest rates can help stimulate the economy now. But going forward, you know, this notion of the ocean in which we swim will be lower interest rates until perhaps we die, that changes a lot of things, especially if, you know, you had accumulated something and you hope to live off what you accumulated in your retirement.
You're right, David. Savings won't work. Speculation works. Why is the market going up so fast and so high when the economy is reaching crisis points we haven't seen since the 1930s? And the answer is that's what ultra-low rates do. Anyone hoping to have funds for a down payment, for child's education, let alone for retirement, cannot save. You lose money saving.
Now, in June, our central banking friends were talking a lot about dealing with economic inequality in America, but very low interest rates for the foreseeable future plays out in this debate. You think it could enhance inequality?
I think it'll make it a lot worse. The Fed's approach to thinking about economic inequality is to start looking at employment based not just on aggregate and average numbers, but also to look at it based on demographic groups, especially looking at black inequality. And that's fine, but it's not enough. We don't need more numbers. We need ways for lower income people to earn living returns and living wages. And this economy since 2010 hasn't done that.
But Karen, what's the poor Fed going to do? It can't raise interest rates now or send strong signals that these interest rates are going up soon.
Fundamentally, monetary policy since 2010 led to the slowest economic quote-unquote recovery in decades, with far worse economic inequality and much greater risk-taking in financial markets. And I don't see any reasons why this new, quote, robust updating, as the Fed calls it, will do anything but make that worse. We don't see where the sources of capital investment, long-term productivity, and real strength for small businesses, where's that going to come from? There's nothing in this policy for shared prosperity. I don't see it.
Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics. Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
On this 1st of September, which feels in this COVID year like March 72nd or something, interest rates are staying low. The benchmark 10-year rate is at 0.69%. Stock index futures, the NASDAQ future is up 1%. S&P future up 0.3%. The Dow future now up 7 points. Now, Delta and American Airlines are joining United in canceling the fee for changing domestic tickets for all but the cheapo flights. The no-penalty policies will no longer expire at the end of this year. That'll attract flyers in uncertain times, but the penalties were generating cash upon which the airlines had been gorging. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
U.S. Airlines generated almost $3 billion in revenue from change and cancellation fees last year. That's according to the Transportation Department. Robert W. Mann is an airline industry analyst.
It is historically a lot of revenue, but a lot of it is collecting that revenue from customers who are no longer around.
Like business customers who just aren't flying right now. He says the calculus for airlines here is all about generating demand.
We could eliminate the uncertainty for customers who we really would like to book travel in advance. And then we can also give ourselves another opportunity to upsell.
Upsell, because the change fees won't be waived for basic economy tickets. Zach Griff covers the airline industry for the travel website The Points Guy. He says what airlines need right now is working capital.
Any money that the airline gets right now is money. They're burning cash, millions of dollars of cash each day, and they're still working on trying to trim that back down to zero.
So he says airlines need folks to make future investments in travel, even if customers have to change or cancel a flight. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.